Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I got to tell you, Pam, right from the get-go, that song sounded way better before I put it on as an intro tonight, because that was not lively at all. But anyway, how are you tonight?
My day was good. My day was good. I thought that was beautiful intro music. It was a bit different. It had a very electronic type vibe to it, that tech music type vibe.
Yeah, it was a nice piece. When I was listening to it earlier, I was like, that sounds pretty good. And it ironically, it had something to do with underwater and watercolors. I forget the exact title of it. I should have remembered that.
Yeah. I could see that play fitting. You know, especially some of the more serious-looking pieces where they're, like, underwater, that one we were talking about where you kind of, like we said, it looked like Ophelia. It kind of had that slow, dreamy techno vibe to it that for some reason worked really well with the artwork.
It was pretty funny, but I'm
not And how was your day?
My day's the same as always every other day. I'm so tired. I don't know. But this is going on a three-day fire now.
I get that.
Whatever. But definitely not a bad day, you know, just a real lazy day. So, you know, but these things do pass, so that's all you can do. I have to tell you, I was tempted to put Bob Ross's intro song up for our intro song tonight, because I just thought it sounded good, you know, because it was the art piece.
That would have been a cool choice.
Yeah, but that doesn't work. I thought maybe I was, you know, that would have been just wrong to do. So I did not. But now that's interesting. But yeah, so we ended up, it looks like we have a great lineup of poems for tonight. And gosh, they're still coming in. I had given it a little bit of a, it closed last night, so I reopened it. And I opened it for open poetry. As soon as I opened it up for pre-writes, all of a sudden people were writing for it. I was like, well, that works. I like it. So,
yeah, right?
whatever works. Whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever draws them in is good with me. And really a wonderful choice of prompts. Just beautiful artwork.
Oh, thank you. I just thought they were neat. You know, when I gathered them up, I thought these look really great, you know. And I thought, well, you know, it'd be interesting to see if anybody really, took to them. And it seems they did. A little bit of a slower contest for me, but, you know, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Right. It was nice. People did seem to take to them and enjoyed them. So I'm like, okay, I'm happy. Remind me, I'm just putting up one more request to read. And what it is, I say, permissions must be received at time of entry. I don't even know why I write it, because nobody ever reads it. That's a personal
effort. Right? No kidding.
It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, you want to.
But what do you do? What do you do? So we have lots of really nice looking poetry from what I saw.
I read through it earlier today, and I have to say definitely some great stuff.
Very, very, very cool. Yeah, it looks good. It looks like a lot of yummy poetry. Great. The vibes from the images, I think, are going to lead to a different kind of poems. You know, they're kind of soft and a little bit... I don't know, laid back almost is the words that come to my mind.
I noticed some of the poetry you have is romantic and sensual, and some is story poems, and you know, put a bit of a touch on Mother Nature. So,
yeah, it's a lot of really interesting, and you know, the underwater with the goldfish. They were like intriguing to me, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great bit of interesting art. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. I got two things open up to the same exact spot, and then I'll be wondering why I can't find it. Yeah. Like, wow, you know, I love when I do crazy stuff like that. Not really, but you know, close enough to do that. Okay, now let me see. When I even have a reserve put into this contest as of like a couple hours ago. I may have spent the contest is over at midnight. That would have made me chuckle. So otherwise, you know, there's not a whole lot to, you know, anything else to really chatter about. I mean, we have great shows lined up for this week, and it should be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I guess we could get started. You know, I just feel like I don't want to race into anything, you know. I think we're in a big hurry.
I totally get that. Yeah, no, I will say another thing I found interesting about the artwork, since we don't want to rush into things, is I felt like in some of the pieces, especially the underwater ones, there was a representation, and this is just my perspective, of the balance of life and death. You know, like you saw the plants growing from the girls, and yet how they were so pale and had their eyes closed, there was almost this sense of death.
I have to agree with that. I couldn't put my finger on it when I was looking at the images at first. Because when you look at their faces are somewhat pale, and then they have the bright patches of red on their face and their eyes, and it doesn't. wasn't a pretty thing. You know, it wasn't about bruise and stuff like that. There was something about it I just couldn't pinpoint. And it was in all of the images. And I thought it was kind of intriguing in that respect.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I kind of follow your thoughts there, for sure. Yeah, I wish I knew who did the art. You know, it was one of those, I guess, and I don't know how to do
that. Well, you know, I saw that reverse search thing, and that never works for me. You ever try doing that where you can, you know, click on an image and do a my Kindle Fire, there's supposedly an option where you can reverse search. Like, you can search for an image on Bing, and it'll, I can never get it to quite work, though. Like, it'll actually look like it's working. Like, there's this, you know how when, like, you have that circle that, you know, that, like, the dots that go in a circle when something's, you know, searching?
Yep.
It does that, but after a few minutes, I'm like, okay, I give up. So maybe I'm just not patient enough, but...
That would be me, I guess.
I don't know.
I never even get that far. I have not figured out how to do it, because it would be wonderful if I could, because, you know, heck, I can't tell you how many times I've been doing a search and came across something and then saved it or saved a bunch of them and... Then I move on, and I don't even know who the heck they are, you know, because, you know, I do free image searches all the time, you know, what have you, and stuff pops up, you know. I put a lot of into the fact that I put in the word free, and I get what I get, you know. But
exactly.
It's always intriguing to know, because if I had known who this was, then I would have gone and looked for more images, because I know me, you know. I'm a little crazy like that, but they're nice, and people were inspired by them, and that's pretty important. You know, I always like that part of it all. So let me see. Where will we begin tonight? Well, I don't know exactly. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start right at the top of the list, and I'm going to have you read the first piece, which is by Dammit Dave. Hello, Dark and Dark.
Okay.
Oh, first image.
Yeah, Dark and Dark. Yeah.
Minho Hirano.
Oh.
See that?
You'll have to look that name up.
I'm getting ready.
She might be on to something.
Absolutely. I have faith. Okay, I'm going to put this first piece up for you, Pam, by Dammit Dave. And
All right. Madam Butterfly by Dammit Dave. The children call her Madam Butterfly because of the tattoo that's on her chest. The young men blush whenever they catch her eye. Her suitors pray by marriage they'll be blessed. Her father knows her beauty can beguile, and she has never sans a chaperone. He hopes that soon he'll walk her down the aisle. Until that day, she's never left alone. Her eyes are often red from tears she cries. Her freedom lies beyond a lock and key. The smile she wears is just a thin disguise, for she's afraid of things she can't foresee. The caterpillar's not a butterfly, although the nom de plume will make her grin. Her chrysalis will never let her fly, because she is a creature trapped within. The children call her Madam Butterfly. An overbearing father clipped her wings. And so she smiles at every eager guy while she daydreams of living's finer things and poem.
Great read, Pam. Great read. What a great poem by Dave. You know, I always say that. Every time Dammit Dave's poem comes up, I go, this is great. Such great rhyme and flow. But it's always true. It's always true. But this is a beautiful poem. Wonderful references and imagery all throughout. And he, too, picked up on the redness of the eyes and took it as tears. And before I go one step further, and hang on, Dave, hang on to that thought, I want to tell you that Darkened Auras was absolutely on the money. That's exactly who the artist was. I pulled up a search.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you were listening. Oh, very cool. High five.
Absolutely. So there's way more than the ones I picked. But beautiful work. So, okay, so I got to go back to Dave's call. Pardon me, I have to return to where I was. But it was just a stunning piece. I think the story that he told was wonderful. And that's really, I think, what I liked about his poem the most is he was telling a story and a tale all the way through it. He never tripped. I don't think he forgot to mention anything. I think it was just beautifully done. So, Dave, excellent, excellent work. And, you know, I really enjoyed this one. And thanks for writing for the contest. Wonderful job. Kate Pian, what you got to say?
You know, I really like this, and I have to agree with you. You know, it's definitely a talent to be able to tell a story in rhyme without either making the story or the rhyme feel forced, and he's done a wonderful job of that. And what I like here is, you know, you have, you know, a story of a young woman who everything looks fine on the surface because she's got that smile that she wears, that thin disguise, but beneath it all, she's got the clipped wings, you know, she's got the overbearing father, and you can just within the lines see the turmoil within it. I like this all the way through, but especially her eyes are often red with tears, she cries, her freedom lies behind yon the lock and key. The smile she wears is just a thin disguise, for she's afraid of things she can't foresee. It's almost like, to me, that within that end line of that stanza is the thought that she's afraid that she'll be married off to a man who's just like her father. You know, that she's never going to truly escape because she'll go from one controlling man to the next. At least that's right. What I read into that line. And so beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I'll take the second one in line. That'll make it kind of simple. You know, if I can only find the... There we go. Jeez. Okay. I don't know, but here we go. This is called Drifting by S. Sharp. In a classroom but miles away, drowning in the world that floats all about her, she holds her breath, waiting for someone, anyone to notice. She is stuck in the seaweed, submerged in a relentless sea. After wave overwhelms her, another school, another adjustment, just a piece of driftwood thrown upon a desolate island in the middle of modern society. End poem. Well, Pam, you want to kick us off?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, great read there, Gene. You know, I like that he brought this into modern times. Although, you know, it's a classic story, you know, a story of a young lady who feels ignored, who feels lost. But, you know, as he says in his end line, thrown upon a desolate island in the middle of modern society. I like, this is strongly emotive. I like the imagery and metaphors, especially she holds her breath waiting for someone, anyone knows she is stuck in the seaweed, submerged in a relentless sea. I mean, all the way through. And then, you know, it kind of builds up to the point where you, because at first with the imagery, you could take it almost any time period. But then when you go into the desolate island in the middle of modern society, you suddenly get the feeling of a girl who has been moved from place to place, has ended up in a large city. Like I imagine her ending up in a large city like New York or Chicago and feeling extremely overwhelmed, feeling like she doesn't fit in. And, you know, it also, another thing it kind of makes me think of is it makes me think of foster kids, how oftentimes they spend so many years in the system getting passed from home to home. It really, to me, though, it doesn't specifically say foster or foster care, has that feeling of a child who has never quite found a place to call home, and it's powerful and beautifully written.
Yeah, I do agree. I thought it was just really wonderfully written. You know, the first stanza there, or the first four lines, actually, because I want to go on past there. In a classroom but miles away, drowning in the world that floats all about her. It is. It's like, you know, when you feel like you're just, like, overwhelmed or drowning in a situation. Everybody can relate to that sensation, that feeling, that thought. And when you look at the image, you know, it very much relates back to that. And I found that to be pretty intriguing. But this piece, again, like a lot of Scott's pieces, he doesn't need the image to make it work. You know, he definitely wrote a piece that stood on its own two legs, you know, and was very well written, you know. But it's amazing. I mean, there's a lot. It says a lot, and it's not a very long piece, you know. But wave after wave overwhelms her, another school, another adjustment. You know, apparently this girl and her family travels. You know, as you said, something about foster care. It could have been what's the term they use for the people in the service that are always moving. You know, there's always some changes, you know.
Yeah.
From school to school, city to city, town to town, country to country.
Yep.
It all depends on what's going on. So, and it definitely fits both of them. Don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to say, oh, well, you know, this is better.
Now, but there's definitely different options. I mean, it could very well be her parents in the military.
Yeah, he definitely addressed it in such a way that you could put it to any of those ideas or concepts. So great job, Scott, and I want to thank you for writing to the contest. Just so everybody knows, it's just me and Pam, so I don't have a whole lot of time to write comments. So if I don't comment tonight, don't panic, because I'm coming back. You know, I will comment on everything before the contest closes. So that's a guarantee.
Sure would be nice to have another twisted person join us.
We do, or we might.
No, I said it would be. Sorry, I wish we did. I said it sure would be nice if another twisted person joined us. Yes.
It's always nice. You know, we all love our twisted people.
Oh, yes.
I'm so, so tickled that Darkened Aura spotted that artist, and that was wonderful. It really was. I don't want to lose that.
He does reverse search. Weaver says, hi, ladies. I'm twisted.
Hi, Weaver. You want to call in? I can send you a little something. You know how that is, right? I'm always doing something.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. What the hell was I just doing? Christ, I get so lost in my own self. I'm going to send her a little note. See if she wants to come and join us. It's always good that way. But I tell you what, before I do that, I'm going to put up this piece for you to read, Sam. I hope it's more than four lines long.
All right, sounds good.
It's by DJ Writer. So there you go. Whenever you're ready.
All right. I Miss You by DJ Writer. And it goes like this. Girls tease my watercolor hair. I hear the gossip. Mommy, you taught me not to care. So smart, so beautiful. Watch both sides before crossing. Choose friends wisely. A man stopped me yesterday, marveling at my flesh tones. Spring, aquamarine, magenta, brushed cheeks. He went on. Looked through him thin as rice paper until he crumpled. Mommy, I miss you so much. My braid is overgrown with flowers. End poem.
Oh, nice read, Pam. And there I go saying, give me a second.
I'm going to go straight into commenting.
Sing a little song.
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. I just missed it.
Okay.
Now, this This is absolutely beautiful. I like how he brought in the watercolor and the nod towards the colors used on the flesh, the spring aquamarine magenta brush cheeks. Yeah. And it's a wonderful brevity, great use of imagery. I like that he brings a story into this, right? And we look into this girl's heart and, you know, her talking to her mother who has passed on and remembering her mother and remembering her love and her words of wisdom. And I really liked this all the way through, but what particularly stood out to me besides that use of color that I mentioned was looked through him thin as rice paper until he crumpled. There's almost like the idea that she learned from her mother never to accept anything except for true love, you know, and anybody who was just empty flattery, look through them, you know, they're going to expose themselves. You can, you know, look and you can see the difference between true love and empty flattery. So wonderful light and very well done.
Absolutely. I thought this was an intriguing piece to begin with. I miss you, you know, and it starts out, girl sees my watercolor hair, hear the gossip, and then it goes, mommy, you taught me not to care. So smart, so beautiful. And then it goes, and it becomes rather sad at the end, you know, to me, because mommy, I miss you so much. My braid is overgrown with flowers. It's such a, it's almost, you can take it one way or the other. Either the mother is passed on or the little girl is passed on, because these are water images. And I believe the one that was chosen actually had that feel, the braids and the hair and the water and the flowers and such growing in the hair. I think it's an image of the water. And so it could be either way. You know, maybe the child was lost and drowned or what have you. And I think that it's very touching and very, very thought-provoking. You know, it's sad and it's kind of somber to me. So
it is. That is a good point.
Yeah, and thank you so much for writing for the contest. Definitely a wonderful
piece. Yeah. I never would have thought of that word. That's great. I like that. I like the whole idea that it's the girl who died. Well, who knows? If it was the girl that died, maybe she was hit by a car. That would fit well with that one stanza that says, watch both sides before crossing.
Well, this is true, too. Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be something to think about in that respect. The image, no, this image that I had in my head is not a water image. So, but either way, it just could be something just as horrendous. There's so much water in all these images, I wasn't sure. Or, well, I don't know. I should be quiet because there's another one with a braid in the water. So, and it didn't really give a number. So I'm just trying to, like, figure it out. But definitely a wonderful piece. And whichever way you look at it, is very sad, you know, whoever.
Yes.
She said she can't get in yet. Okay. Hello, Asteria. We're waiting for you, Weaver. We're waiting for you. And here's Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy. Just saying hello.
Ah, there's our spooky Jeremy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they call him the Streak. Yeah. That's it. The Streaker. Okay.
Absolutely.
So I have the next one, and this one is by Hats. You see me. I'm closing my eyes because I try not to see. Yes. They talk about us old girls like that. You know, can't be watching. No looking. Okay, here we go. And this one is by Hats, and it's called How I Met Your Father. I'm standing in the corner of poetry, while running my fingers along the backs of books, as if I were playing the piano. Sixth Sense whispers that someone is staring at me. When I turn sharply, the emerald eyes are piercing me from behind the raven's curls. A shy smile, dried up color through the rainbow under the nails. A pink smudge on the neck. Picasso, the thought flies through my head. The same as a battle. That is cricket ball. While looking into his eyes, they light up as if someone has turned on a lamp inside him. I'd like to paint you. Then I sit wrapped in a silk fabric that kisses my skin with his cold touches, and I count the minutes as if the prisoner watches the steps behind the bars. He is murmuring, mixing the colors, the rustling of the brush on the canvas. His lips say, done. I look at his work and see a nymph. Her hair is braided with the dandelions and with white butterflies fly around him. He leans closer to me. His whispers gliding over my skin like a breeze. You smell like the summer night, a moss, and the tall grass swaying under the sky, and the poem. Okay, Pam. You know, when I read, you may as well just take over the comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Like said, well, wonderful.
Thank you.
What's that? Oh, okay. This is beautiful. I really like when somebody gets something out of a picture than more than that what's just in the picture, you know? Like she writes this romantic, delicately sensual write that takes us into a moment. And it is from the title and the whole poem, that moment where a couple first meets and first connects. And I like that she puts the dialogue in here, but it doesn't overtake the poem. You know, I'd like to paint you, his lips say done. I look, you know, but most of it is her just describing her perspective or the woman describing her perspective. I really liked this all the way through, but especially where she says, my sixth sense whispers that someone is staring at me. And then a pink smudge on the neck, Picasso, the thought flies through my head the same as a batted cricket ball. While looking into his eyes, they light up as if someone has turned on a lamp inside him. You smell like the summer nights, a moss and the tall grass swaying under the sky. There's something so very intimate about that moment and sensual, but not overly sexualized. I think it's just beautifully written and very well done.
Well, I have to agree with you there, Pam. I thought it was a great read. I don't mean by me. It was a great piece to read. Excellent imagery throughout. And I thought the story was really well told. It was intriguing how it went into a Picasso painting. You know, when I turn sharply, the emerald eyes are piercing me from behind, the raven curls, a shy smile, dried up colors of the rainbow under the nails, a pink smudge on the neck, you know. But the imagery was great. The details in it were very nice. And then, you know, we go on to Picasso and he wants to paint her. And I thought it was really nice imagery. It was soft. It wasn't hard to... it wasn't harsh. That's what I meant. And I liked how it went down to the description of the image, although the image, again, not really necessary. I look at his work and see a nymph. Her hair is braided with the dandelions and white butterflies fly around. It was just really lovely, really nice work. And thank you, Hatch, for sharing with us tonight. I appreciate that very much. Uh-huh. And let me see.
I find it interesting that all the girls in these paintings are young, and yet they all have gray hair. And then I was thinking about it. Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder if the gray is supposed to represent the what would be like almost like the color of the wind.
Maybe.
So, but it's
maybe
interesting. I like it. Oh, absolutely. And before we move on, I'd like to welcome Kate to the show. Welcome, Kate. Glad you could be here.
Well, hello.
Thank you, my dear. It took me ages to get in. Oh, my goodness.
Nice meeting you here.
I know. Isn't it weird? We'll have to stop looking like this. People will talk.
Well,
guess
we're
what
glad
I did.
To have you, hon.
Guess
well,
what I did today, just before I came to speak to you, I fell asleep and fell out of my chair, flat on the ground.
Oh,
yes. I've already fallen asleep twice standing up. I really must stop fighting sleep. I'm getting a bit worried. I went down like a brick.
You didn't
anyway,
get hurt,
I'm
did
here.
You?
Not much.
You didn't hurt nothing.
Just my knee. My proving knee.
Knee. Well, they matter, man. They matter.
Oh, they
don't count on us a lot. And the older
yes.
I got, the more I realized how much I counted on that puppy.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that's my excitement for the night. Let's get ourselves talking
about it,
and I'll stop talking.
Oh my gosh! Oh well, we'll have no more of that. No more falling down. No more falling asleep while you're standing up or sitting down, or none of that.
Definitely not.
I shouldn't say that. Then she'll have to go to bed, and she won't be able to stay with us. Oh my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what, I got you just in time to hear Pam read the next piece, and then we're going to kick into, well, your piece is the very next one.
I oh, like excellent.
That.
Timed that well, didn't I?
Good timing. Mm. How about it? Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, Pam, the next piece is by Tom Tiller, if you don't mind.
All right. This is New Pastures by Tom Tiller. And it goes like this: wedding day, and her friends dress and prepare her. Braided hair, a ponytail hangs over a left shoulder, hair gripped to a white lace top, which the freshness is enhanced by the flush of blush around her eyes and across youthful cheeks. The colors, however, contrast and resonate her innocence. Friends have gathered daisies, weaving them together and into her hair. Yellow and white flowers trail down her right shoulder side, balancing symmetry with her ponytail and an offset single larger daisy on her left side. Hair shines like a star. She carries symmetry, hair center parted, eyes, nose, and mouth equal from center. And as she sits ready, her mother and friends look on in awe, like a sacrifice to purpose prepared for the ritual, where she will blossom with love and leave this garden with her new family to settle and grow a family of her own within her own beautiful garden. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. Mm-hmm. Weaver, you want to kick us off in this one? The Kate might be on mute. But in the meantime.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm so
there
sorry.
There you are.
Oh, what a twit. I've just... Right, just pretend I've spoken already, okay? I've just said a whole... I'll start again. Oh, shoot. I'm getting old. Okay. Yes. I was saying that I wished I could see the picture that this is a prompt to, but I think I can vaguely remember it. And this is exactly what you see in the picture, but what this... What the poet's done is basically make this her wedding day, and you know that's why she's got all her finery on and everything. So you've got the whole description of how beautiful she looks and how she carries herself well, and the family's hoping that everything goes wonderful for her, and this is her wedding day, which I thought was lovely and very nicely written as well. So I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Nice comment, Kate. I think that Tom Tiller did a nice job with this as well. This is the girl, I believe, that has the daisies on the one side of her face, and she has a braid down the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just lovely. I love the use of detail in this and the wonderful imagery throughout. And I like how he made it into a wedding day because there is a certain something about that image. It's not quite as solemn as some of the other ones. At least I didn't think it was. There was more, I think, of a softer expression on her face, if I remember correctly. And I think that it was just a tale really well done. It was. I found it interesting that he took it for that. And it was nice. It was really nicely done. I'm trying to think of where I want to go with it, but the imagery was great. The story was good. I think that there was plenty of it to make it all seem like a happy day. But I liked his ending on this. I have to say this, like a sacrifice to purpose. Prepared for the ritual, where she will blossom with love and leave this garden with her new family to settle and grow a family of her own within her own beautiful garden. I thought that was lovely the way you put that in that last stanza. It was a great way to tie it all up, with a bow. So great job, Time Teller, and thank you for sharing. And Pam, what did you think, honey?
Well, I have to agree with you. That ending was a great way to tie it up and was absolutely lovely. I like that he took this as a wedding date. I thought this had a wonderful attention to detail. It makes you think, it made me think about a couple different things. First of all, how oftentimes there's so much tradition and ceremony, put into wedding days, and especially the preparation of the bride and how she's often the center, the focus of attention, and how in many cultures, what the bride wears. I mean, even in America, we have the something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. You know, it gives to me the idea of, the flower being woven in by the friends and family, because that's part of the tradition, part of the culture. I also like the mention of symmetry created, because it's a representation of the balance that she's going to need in her new life as a wife, and then someday as a mother, as a partner. But it also makes me think on the whole idea of how, people have been, they've done studies on people who look at people, and what they found is the people who are considered physically beautiful just by looking at them are people who have symmetry in their facial features, like a set balance between like eyes and nose and mouth and nose. And that's not to say that, obviously we all know beauty is something open to the beholder, but, I'm just saying that a lot of times, you look at somebody and they have a good symmetry to their face. They're physically appealing. So I like that he's brought in all these different elements to me and then tied it up with a nice bow of that hope for the future. So wonderful, yeah. Right, and very well done.
Yeah, I have to agree all the way around on that. Yeah, great comment. Okay, now the next one I have is by this chick, Weaver of Dreams. Old Woody Lily. And I think I have an audio for this. So let me go and hit the button, because that'll keep me out of trouble. And here we go.
I hide amongst the water lilies, blending in with ease. Sparkling droplets roll from my skin to meet again in the pool. Limbs float languidly, fingers cup a flower, trail through the tendrils that cradle me in the tranquil passage of time set apart. Leave me with my silence. Let not one word of discord shatter my serenity. The world too soon will intervene.
Nice. Nice piece, Weaver. Nice piece. Pam, do you want to start us off? Pam.
Oh, yes. I'm here. And, yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I love the imagery in this. There is, you use the word tranquil in here, and there is, even if you hadn't used that word, I would say there was a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility. I really like this all the way through. It's hard to separate any of the parts. But I would say that middle stanza is absolutely gorgeous to me. Limbs float languidly, fingers cup a flower, trail down the tendrils that cradle me in the tranquil passage of time set apart. You know, there's just a real thought to me of someone who gets so overwhelmed by the busyness of their life and the busyness of the world that they need to set time apart to be alone, to have their silence. It's very meditative in its imagery. And I like how you brought forth this connection that she has with the water. And how it becomes almost like a part of her, a part of her spirit. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you.
I like this one. I do. I like how you address the image, but, you know, blatantly didn't have to rely on it. You know, I hide amongst the water lilies, blending in with ease. Sparkling droplets roll from my skin to meet again in the pool. Just a nice lead into this. And it does, it makes you go, okay, where is this going to go? You know, it brings you to that, where's this poem going? You know, and I love how you had that, the sparkling droplets rolling and meeting again in the pool. I thought that was neat. The second stanza was wonderful. And the tranquility, I agree with you, Pam. There is something tranquil about the image, and I think the right really captures that and reflects it most definitely. Wonderful. Like, you know, you hit upon the flowers. You didn't stay there. You know, you really went more with the emotions and the thoughts behind it in the piece, and I think that's what I like about it. You know, leave me with my silence. Let not one word of discord shatter my serenity. The world too soon will intervene. And isn't that the truth? When we get a time where we can all just relax and kind of take that deep breath, you know, whether it is meditation, like Pam happened to mention, or whatever it is, wherever we're pulling our self back together, you know, we're centering ourselves. You know, all too often something does interfere. The phone rings, the kids yell, the neighbor knocks on the door, the dog barks, you know, things just take us from that space. So to have it linger as long as it possibly can, that last stanza really captures it. Like don't mess it up. Just let me be here. Let me just be here. And I like that very much. Very well done. And Leland, would you like to comment on this poem?
I just wanted to say, basically, you've got it exactly what I tried to portray you've got, which is great because it means that I'm coherent. For a change, but this I think is what I would love to have: tranquility and peace and quiet. So that's what went into the poem. When I saw her face, I thought she looks very happy. So yes, that. Thank you very much. You got exactly what I meant.
Okay. Well, we loved it, and thank you so much for writing for us. I appreciate every write we get, and especially good writes. But we get a lot of good writes. Good writes are always wonderful. Yes, I must say. Now, let me see. Where are we now? Here we are. Got it. Oh, you know, I get lost. It's kind of easy. So, Pam, you read the last one before Weaver's piece, right? Yes, you did. You read Time Killers. A little slow. I do my thinking out loud, but it's okay. Okay, I'm going to put this next piece up. It's called Watercolor Weight by Crystal H. And I guess I'll give this one a read. She soaks in dandelion bristles, dancing in the flakes of watery weight, swirls of acrylic stain on her ivory skin, bleeding onto the crackling, cracking ceramic plate. daisy clouds pillow her droopy head as her elm-rimmed eyes whisper to the waves. She beckons to the aquiline ripples, burying her sunlight in slippery caves. Pale pink lips chap as her white teeth crumble against the rocky ridges, swimming in the ballpoint pen ink of ship. Blonde strands drink the broken bucket lies streaming in the sand. Pillars of salt carry blurry visions, screaming in the palm of her hand. Mint memories fade into waterfalls, drawing scribbles wandering to create. Painting lilies across the willow canvas, carrying the past watercolor weight. End poem. Pam, you want to start? Or no, Weaver, you can start us off on this one. Yes.
Thank you, darling. I vowed I would never start comments again because of my mermaid fiasco, and I'm still suffering from it. So luckily I don't see a mermaid here, which is good to know. Flipping it. Right, so let me just dive in. She soaks in dandelion bristles. Yes, that's what it looks like, dandelion bristles. I like it. Breathing in onto a cracking ceramic plate. Yes, okay. Daisy clouds pillow her droopy head as her emerald eyes whisper to the waves. She beckons to the aqua ripples, burying her sunlight in slippery caves. That's beautiful. That's a lovely stanza, isn't it? That's Daisy clouds pillow her droopy head. That's just lovely. I love the way people see things differently, don't you? And
I
do. I think it's wonderful. Blonde strands drink the broken bucket lies steaming in the sands. Pillars of salt carry blurry visions screaming in the palm of her hands. Okay. Yes, there's such a lot into this, but I would have to read it and read it and read it, I think, to actually get exactly what I should be thinking of here. It's a deep poem, but yes, beautifully written, lovely flow, which I think is nice, and thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Nice comment, hon. Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I think this is absolutely beautiful. And I have to agree with Weaver that it does take more than one reading. And I think that's in part, in my opinion, because even though it's very straightforward language and imagery, it's conveyed in such a way, like the choice of phrasing, at the way she puts certain words together, like mint memories fade into the waterfalls. It has a very surrealism, abstract type feel to it. Couple of things I really admire about this is, first of all, you can tell that Crystal H. really took time to study this painting, because every single little color and texture that is in this painting, she has brought into this poem. To be honest, with the references to so many references to art and drawing, I feel like this whole poem is about an artist who's exploring with different mediums of art, you know, because we have the swirls of acrylic, the stain, the ceramics, the ballpoint pen, screaming in the palm of her hands. You know, it almost feels like somebody exploring with finger paint. I really like this all the way through. But I do have to say that last stanza particularly stood out to me with its use of a gentle alliteration and beautiful rhyme. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Nice comment. Yeah, I thought this was a lovely write. I thought it was great imagery and a wonderful reflection of the poem. I really enjoyed it. And as for, I looked over these stanzas a couple of times, and I'm like, okay. They're all nice. They're all well. They're just full of imagery, each one. But pale pink lips chap as her white teeth crumble against the rocky ridges, swimming in the ballpoint pen ink of shipwrecked forts and bridges. Intriguing imagery in this one. But, you know, an artist you know, you start with one thought and then you have to change it up a little bit. So, I mean, that could be some of that. But just a really nice job, Crystal, and thank you so much for writing for the contest. Very much appreciate it. Great stuff. My goodness. My goodness, goodness, goodness. Okay. Now, Pam, I'm going to give you the next one to read. And it's going to be by Rain474.
All right.
You're ready when you are.
All right. Loud Voice by Rain474. And it goes like this. Right underneath in the dark, I'm spread wide, formless and free-floating. But as I rise up, leaving the dark tub, I discover a cute chub. Standing tall amidst the lotus-bloomed full dawns and the attitude cool, painting the soul beautiful as the serenity camouflage lotus full, we become what our company holds. End poem.
Nice read, Sam. And let me see. You know, I think that this is a nice take. I believe this is on the same prompt as Crystal, only because I think that's the only one that really has a lotus in it. But right underneath in the dark, I'm spread wide, formless and free-flowing. You know, right there, it's a wonderful lead-in of imagery to the rest of the poem. You know, I think that it was just nicely done. It really is pretty much brevity. There's not a whole lot of lines to it. The lines are short. You know, standing tall amidst the lotus blooms full, dons and the attitude cool. I think this is just nicely done, well written, you know, well stated. And I do think it was a good reflection of that prompt for sure. So thank you, Rain474. Appreciate the write. And Ms. Weaver Girl, back to you.
Okie dokie. Yes, you're right. Lovely brevity. I love this. That second stanza. Formless and free-flowing. It's just lovely. I do like alliteration. Just lovely. And also painting the soul beautiful as the serenity camouflage lotus full. We become what our company holds. That's just very true. We do, don't we? We are judged by our friends, I suppose, or are we judged by who we stand with? I suppose we are. But I think this is really beautiful. I think it's a brevity with an awful lot in it. Right underneath in the dark and spread wide. I mean, that's the roots, isn't it? Formless and free-flowing, yeah. Yeah, I think it's just a beautiful brevity, and I really enjoyed it. And thank you very much, Rain474.
Nice comment, Weaver. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful brevity with wonderful imagery. I really particularly like I'm spread wide, formless and free flowing, and painting the soul beautiful. I like that line in particular and the idea of seeing the beauty of the soul. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And thank you, Rain474. Okay, now the next piece I have, I'm going to give to our friend Kate here. It's called My Watercolor Views by Lal. So whenever you are ready.
Okay, my line's going to get it. Here we are. Rain? No. Is it not watercolor? Wait.
Yeah.
Do I need to refresh? Hang on.
Yeah. It's My Watercolor Views.
Gotcha. Little devil. Okay. Oh, that's a lovely picture. Right. She comes to me just like a child with flowers in her hair. Her innocence, naivety bring bliss I'll always share. She'll dance and drift and tease and lift my spirits as she plays with syllables and endless words. She forms the perfect phrase. I've learned to be the patient one and never ask for more, allowing her to come and go, to venture and explore. And graciously she will return with colors none can find. A delicate transparency will stir within my mind. And we are one as we connect to soar so far away. I ask not where or how or for how long, in fear she will not stay. She guides my hands and fills my mind with splendid imagery, allowing me to write the words alone I would not see. A trance-like state, a state of mind, scenarios so bright, and in my hair are dandelions and butterflies of white. Uncanny how we look the same, I dare not think of that, for fear I'll lose this wondrous soul and she will not come back. For none depicts a tale so well in rhyme, in rhythm and in rhyme, than she who gently sheds a tear as I run out of time. Bemused I watch as colours run to gently blend and fuse, as she now sleeps and paints no more, my watercolour muse. End poem.
Nice read, Kate. Nice read. Pam, you want to start us off?
I would be happy to. Wonderful read there, Kate. You know, this is just absolutely beautiful and very relatable. You know, I think we've all learned to appreciate the time that our muse comes up, that the poetry just flows out, and never to force it. I love that she personifies the muse, like the muses of mythology, and brings to the muse an air of innocence, you know, almost teasing and playful. And I really like this all the way through, but especially I've learned to be the patient one and never ask for more, allowing her to come and go, to venture and explore. She guides my hands and fills my mind with splendid imagery, allowing me to write the words alone I would not see. You know, and there, it's so important when, you know, being open to writing poetry that you don't force it. You know, the words will come in time, and when they come, they'll be the right words. Yeah, just an amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Great comment. Kate, how about you?
Well, it was an absolute pleasure to read it. It just darted and flowed, and I like it when it's an easy thing to read, because I know I stumbled a couple of times, but that's me because I'm not, you know, taking the care I should. I was talking too fast. But I think it's absolutely beautiful. I love it. I love the fact that, as you say, she personifies. Of course, I'm thinking to myself, this could also be a child. You know, it could have been a muse or a child. And so I'm looking at it both ways. But I think a muse is probably exactly what it was meant to be. But I think it's lovely. I thought everything about it was so sweet and so lovely. And yes, if you try to force the words, they will not help you at all. They'll just dive off somewhere else. I've abandoned a piece of poetry that I've written maybe 3 stanzas of. I've abandoned it because it just wasn't right. You know, it just didn't flow, it didn't connect, it wasn't right. So you can see exactly what she means here. But it does happen sometimes that you can't force it. But yes, I thought it was beautifully written, and it was a joy to read. So thank you, Laurel. It was lovely.
Nice comment. Nice comment. Yeah, Laurel really did a wonderful job with this. It was a beautiful tale told. Her imagery was so well penned. And, you know, I could have pulled any one of these stanzas. I really could have. But a trance-like state, a state of mind, scenarios so bright. And in my hair are dandelions and butterflies of white. Uncanny how we look the same. I dare not think of that. For fear I'll lose this wondrous soul, and she will not come back. You know, each stanza was wonderful. Poems like this, I hate to pull one, because I think they'll show well together. But I thought this was awesome work, and wow, I really appreciate you writing for the contest. Yeah, I always appreciate your writes. Wonderful job. great rhyme, great flow, great piece. So thank you so much. Yes. Okie dokie. Well, let's see now. I guess I'll read the next piece. But the next piece on the line was Pam's, and Pam said she'd be right back. At least I'm pretty sure she did. I think I saw that note somewhere. Yeah, look. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
Chris, if he's calling in right now, I think he's full of stupid.
Dear.
So here we go. The piece I'm going to read is called Wedding Blues by Darkened Auras. And she's all dressed up, cheeks rich with rouge, but she's going through the wedding blues. Happy memories yet to make, but she's doing this for her parents' sake. Mom and Dad, a crying pair, as they wove flowers through her hair. One long left braid to symbolize a connected family in their eyes. As she walks the aisle, her heart makes no sound. No love or fireworks, just eyes to the ground. End poem. She's very interesting. And Pam is back. Pam, did you hear the poem?
I heard the tail end of it. However, I'm able to comment because I did read this earlier. I like that she wrote to the same picture that Time Teller did, and she also saw it as a wedding, but she saw a different perspective. You know, she
right.
saw the idea of a young woman who isn't getting married to out of true
right.
love, but is rather getting married to please her family. You know, to
right.
to do what any good daughter would do. And, you know, I really like this all the way through, but especially Mom and Dad, a crying pair, as they wove flowers through her hair, one long left braid to symbolize a connected family in their eyes. No love or fireworks, just eyes, the ground. You know, it's beautifully emotive and sad, and just really grabs at your heartstrings. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Weaver, how about you?
Yes, Pam picked up on that expression on that lovely little face. She does
mm-hmm.
look sad, doesn't she? Poor little
yeah.
soul. She looks about 14, too, which is quite disturbing. But yes, it's a beautiful
yeah.
piece of poetry. She's picked up on all of those things that you can see this is not a happy person. And yes, I suppose it does look like a wedding dress. So that would be exactly what that is, the wedding blues. Not
yeah.
cheeks rich with rouge, but she's going through the wedding blues. Yes, and how many people or how many young girls have done this for their parents' sake, entered a loveless marriage. Just to be a dutiful daughter. I think it was lovely, and I think it's great that she's picked up on that expression and written what she's written about it. I thought it was lovely. Very observant, very sad. So thank you, Dark and Dora. It was lovely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. If I say yes a couple more times, I can finish that sentence. Okay. You know, I thought this was a great piece as well. And it did intrigue me that when I looked at this, I'm like, another wedding piece. It's the same prompt. And I went, how original, really, were the two of them thinking, you know, outside the box? That's not what it's not what I would have gotten from it at all. But, yes, I think that Darkened Auras really captured the true feel of the prompt. Because the girl does look sad. She doesn't look happy. She doesn't look maybe a little indifferent. Maybe indifference is a little bit of a better thought in my head. But the first answer was really good, but then the second one really gives the whole thing away right there. Happy memories she had to make, but she's doing this for parents' sake. It's not a marriage of love or a happy or joyful thing for her. It's, you know, for whatever reason her parents want her to do that. I think that that's sad. It's really sad. But it was a great capture on the part of Dark and Auris, and nicely done. And I believe I'm supposed to say, hey, Gray, welcome to the party.
Hi,
Phil. It is good to see you here. Absolutely. Did you happen to hear that piece, Gray?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's okay. Not a problem. And I think we all commented. So I will move on to the next one. Pam, your piece was up next, but then you had to make a one. Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm going to put it up now.
All right. Azaleas and mountaintops. Blue shadows cast azaleas onto pearled parchment. She is the sweet scent of summer blooms and blankets of clover. Her eyes are onyx pools rippling. Her hair is egret wings hanging in the shade. The curve where her jawline meets her throat is a bridge to eternity. Sometimes she dissolves into herself for days on end and nobody notices. Nobody asks, where did you go to? She looks back through time and space as if she knows the world has yet to prove itself worthy. There has been too many seasons of fallen pine and dead fish. She is lost in a valley of memories, observing the peaks of mountains yet to be conquered. End poem.
Nice, right, Pam. Let's see. Ray, you want to start us off?
Beautiful read, Pam. And the poem is absolutely stunning. You know, you did such a beautiful write here. It's such amazing imagery of this person that blue shadows cast azaleas onto pearled parchment. She is the sweet scent of summer blooms and blankets of clover. Her eyes are onyx pools rippling. Her hair is egret wings hanging in the shade. You know, it seems to me that you're describing nature itself and where it's at in its journey through time and space. Just a beautiful poem, very thought-provoking.
Thank you, Grace.
Kate, how about you, girlfriend?
Yes, beautiful poem. I just love this. Oh, blue shadows cast azaleas onto pearled parchment. Just and as Grace said, yes, it could very well be nature. But I think that face is just so beautiful. I just think it's lovely. And her hair is egret wings hanging in the shade. I particularly like, if you don't mind me saying, the curve where her jawline meets her throat is a bridge to eternity. That's just epic, that is. But I love the fact that she dissolved into herself for days and nobody notices, nobody asks, where did you go to? Wow. She is lost in the valley of memories, observing the peaks of mountains yet to be conquered. I think you did a beautiful job with that there, that prompt. I was looking at it thinking, I wonder if there's a four-leaf clover in there. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I spent about 10 minutes looking for a four-leaf clover. It wasn't there. But yeah, beautiful. I like it. I love your title, Azalea as Man Talks. That's just lovely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pam, I thought this was wonderful. I love the imagery throughout, and I love the ideas behind it. I mean, when you look at the image, the way the clover is all growing under her hair, you know, it kind of merges her with nature so much, even a little more than the others, you know. And I'm not, you know, I'm not sure why that is, you know, like it's intriguing because it was very different than the other images. But you have wonderful images you loaned to her and thoughts, and I thought that was great. And again, you know, it's another piece that does not need the image to really make sense of it because you're painting a lovely picture all your own. And I think that's always wonderful. And I have to say, you know, this God, I was like, she looks back through time and space as if she knows the world has yet to prove itself worthy. There's been too many seasons of fallen pine and dead fish. She is lost in a valley of memories, observing the peaks of mountains yet to be conquered. Wonderful last couple of stanzas. And just, I don't know, you really, you captured something here that I would not have expected to find from this specific image. Wow, I'm okay. But wonderful, wonderful work, as always. I mean, I always say that to you, oh, Pam, this is wonderful. They really mean it. I mean, there's something about it that I found to be a great capture of the image. So nice job. Absolutely.
Thank you. And thank you for the inspiration.
I'm glad you liked it. I am glad that you liked it. Okay. So, Gray. He's not my Gray, but you know what I mean. My Gray. It's all about the comma. Let me see now. I'm going to put the next piece up for you. And this is by Cedar Chapman. And it is called Pixie Dream. So whenever you're ready, bud.
Thank you, Phil.
Uh-huh.
Let the fire of 1,000 suns blind me, but my eyes shall remain on you as I peek through the forest canopy, sharing the shame with beetles and cricket and other ghastly critters, our sight lines fixated on your face. You glide through the silver pond, the water gently caressing your shoulder, while you tease the wind and the sky as your bosom grazes the mercury meniscus, sending ripples felt by beasts and gods. Far away, we are dark creatures, and I, our hands and fingers just out of reach, painfully we endure and watch with envy as emerald lotus pads and white water lilies stroke your neck. You turn to show your face, glancing back, acknowledging, appeasing your crimson lips pursed together and peach blush glowing in a golden sunbeam. How your hair flows with the midsummer breeze, almost inviting to awaken me from my befuddled slumber. Chance has reined my nostrils, and yet here I hide in the shadow like a frightened fawn, but lurk no more. As I step into the sun, you're startled. You smile. You sink lower below the surface, as if to hide all I have already seen. I wade into the pond and swim towards you. End of poem.
Nice read, Greg. Nice read. Pam, you want to kick us off?
Oh, absolutely. Great read, Greg. And this was a beautiful poem. Before I comment on the poem, though, I do have to say, I think I know what our next song parody has to be, Jean. It has to be talking about my Gray instead of my girl.
Oh, my gosh.
But as always, you know, Cedar has brilliant imagery and metaphors. I love the way he staggers his lines. I like that he brings the idea of mythology into here. It very much reminds me of what kind of creature was Pan, the god that chased after the nymphs?
He was half man.
Was
he a centaur? No, it wasn't a centaur.
I think he was goat. Man and goat, I think.
There was a name for it. But yeah, it was half man, half goat. And there's just, I want to say it's like a centaur, satire, something that starts with S. But anyways, I'll just say Pan. It very much reminds me of Pan chasing after the beautiful nymphs, the water nymphs, the forest nymphs. But
But instead of, because, you know, Pan, the god in the mythology, always came across as very brazen, very full of himself. And here we have a mythological creature, a man who feels not worthy to even look upon this beauty, feels as if they belong with the insects of the earth. And I like this all the way through, but especially that third stanza, painfully we endure and watch with envy as emerald lotus pads and white water lilies stroke your neck. You turn to show your face, glancing back, acknowledging, appeasing. You know, wonderful, wonderful imagery there, and beautifully written, very well done.
Yes, nice comment, Pam. And Weaver, how about you, hon?
Oh, yes, this is beautiful. I think he basically captured exactly what that picture is. It's because she is looking backwards, isn't she? That little look on her face as though, I know you're there. Don't try and hide. I know exactly where you are. And I think it's lovely that you have this mythical creature who isn't, as you say, brazen and thinks the world is his to have as he wants. This is somebody who's shy and painfully shy by the look of it and doesn't think he's worthy of anybody. And I think that's really sad that he then decides he will take that plunge, if you'll pardon the pun, and sink into the water and go towards her. I thought was lovely. I'm a sucker for a good ending, and that is a good ending. Just to hide all I have already seen, I wade into the pond and swim towards you. Lovely. Beautiful ending to that. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Nice. Nice comment, Weaver. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was a superlative, right? It was extremely engaging, visceral, and you could feel the emotions, both tragic and triumphant in the poem. You know, where he goes from feeling like a bug to actually stepping out from underneath the foliage to expose himself to her, and then making the move to enter the pond and swim towards her is quite steadfast, okay, for sure. Yeah, it's just a beautiful poem with excellent imagery.
Absolutely. I agree. Great, great comment, Gray. I think there is wonderful imagery throughout this entire piece. Really, be amazing. A great story told. Any so much detail. The detail in the imagery really just, I don't know, did something incredible here. And I have to agree, Gray, I have to agree with you on that list about him waiting, wade into the pond and swim towards you. There's a wonderful ending for this poem because it starts out, he's just watching through the what word did he use? Canopy, the forest canopy. And I thought that it was incredible, and it's just beautifully expressed all the way through. So wonderful job, Cedar Chapman, and thank you so much, as always, for sharing with us. Wonderful work. Okie doke. So, and for our next magic trick, and I'll read this one, and this is by Siegel. Portrait of Life in Pastel by Siegel. She gathers faded shamrocks, counts the petals, hoping to find just one with an extra leaf. She could use good luck to bring color to the watery life of pale pastel, monochrome butterflies, a little to relieve the emptiness of unrelenting gray and pale pink. It wasn't always like this. Her dreams once lived in a technicolor world filled with vibrant hues, but now she drifts, alone, trapped as in watercolor, impression by Monet. What does she do with all those faded shamrocks, you ask? Well, I put them in my hair. End of poem. Okay, well, I guess I have to ask somebody to comment first. Otherwise, it's been quiet for a while. Okay. Kate, you want to start us off on this one, hon?
Yes, of course. Sorry, I didn't know you were speaking. Yes. So she looked for the four-leaf clover as well. I like that. Somebody else shared my madness. That was lovely. I quite like saying that. She could use good luck to bring color to a watery life of pale pastel. I can see that as well. Definitely, yes. That color of hair is beautiful, though. Yes, it wasn't always like this. Her dreams once lived in a technicolored world filled with vibrant hues. But now she drifts alone, trapped, as in a watercolor impression by Monet. That's, you see that, again, it's the beautiful fact that people see so many different things in the same prompt. I think it's absolutely, it's bound to be. I know that, but it still tickles me that people can get so much and so many different things from the same prompt. I think this one is lovely. This is another gentle one with sadness, unfortunately, a little bit of sadness there. The faded shamrocks in her hair. I thought that was lovely as well. But I think this has been very well written. I think it just flows beautifully. And she did a beautiful job on it. I like it so much. Yes. Thank you, Seagull. It's beautiful.
And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it definitely had its melancholic feel to it, but there was profound hope in there as well. And, you know, I guess that's just kind of the story of life. And whether you're in a watercolor or not, you know, it ebbs and flows. And the colors are bright, and then they're dim, and then, you know, they're bright again. So you just keep moving on and keep trucking on is what you do in life. So I thought it was a very profound poem.
Nice comment, Greg. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write and very relatable. Though I didn't think to look like Kate did. I have to admire Kate and Seagull for looking for the four-leaf clover in the picture. I still found that first stanza relatable, and because, you know, it has a nostalgic feel to me. I remember sitting in the clover and looking for that four-leaf one as a child. And I like how this is about the ups and downs of life, and it's about somebody who, you know, has that hope that someday better days will return back to them, that someday they'll get over this hurdle that they're going through. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely.
Pam, you just reminded me of when I worked at Elections Canada back when I was in my 20s. I used to smoke outside on their front lawn and look for four-leaf clovers. And at that spot, in one day, I found four, five, six, and seven-leaf clovers.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's enough good luck to last two lifetimes.
And that, my friends, is why he came to find Late Night Poets on All Poetry.
That's right. Oh, that's very cool.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
well,
wow. The odds of that. Amazing. Jeez, I don't know. I don't think I think I might have found one in my life, one four-leaf clover. Yes. I just, you know, I don't know. Time became like I had other things. I couldn't sit and look for clovers. I wish I could have. I could have used them. Right about now, I could have cashed them in.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see now. What do I have next? Okay, I'll tell you what. Gosh, I don't remember who read where or when. Pam, I'm going to get you to read the next one. Does that sound about right? Let me look.
I think it's Weaver's turn.
Oh, well, thank God I have you then. Don't go anywhere, right? Okay.
Well, I'm here.
I have one for you to read.
Okay. I'm just going to get it up. Yay. Tuesday's tears. Oh, okay. Tuesday weeps. minute running down her sorry cheeks. Not enough, not enough. She silently whines as another day, some other time, whom the sun prefers last... I'm sorry, I've just gone completely off this. I'm going to start this again. I don't know what I've done, but I've just gone off it completely. So give me a moment. Right, I'll try this one. Tuesday weeps, minutes running down her sorry cheeks. Not enough, not enough. She silently whines. As another day, some other time, whom the sun prefers, last week, next year, never here, over there, has it all. All the stuff, silver mornings or afternoon pearls, whilst Tuesday is yearning, always yearning, for more, more that, more this, a slow, oh so slow, unquestionable avarice. Avarice? I awake, it is yet another Tuesday I find. Leave my blankets, my sweet lover's glow behind. Too late an hour, I walk down the hall unthinking until I step beneath the warm, easy flow of my warm, easy shower. I have water, always water. This water is mine, neither too cold nor too hot. Laughing, splashing, life upon my Tuesday smile, and I remind her to remember, once in a while, all those in this time who simply do not. End poem.
Nice read. Nice read, Kim. Greg, you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. I'd just like to read her author's notes here. She says, I write this as one day when I was very low and full of self-pity, I turned on the radio, and it was a program about how millions of people live without access to water or any type of sanitation. I was appalled by this, and more so at myself. It was a turning point for me. I discovered gratitude, and every day I celebrate my good fortune that I indeed have water. So, yeah, I mean, that just expresses this, it captures this poem perfectly. You know, you can feel the angst and the withdrawal in the beginning, but then the finding of herself, you know, and the gratefulness at the end. So it was just a beautiful poem, kind of a an ode to water in her life, I would say. But, yeah, water is life, in my opinion.
Absolutely. A great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write on being thankful for the blessing of water that isn't available to everyone. I like the narrative of the perspective of somebody going through an average day. I also like that this is a pre-write that works well with the imagery. Not, although she doesn't say a specific prompt, you know, because there is water in so much of the pictures, the artwork, it works really well. I really like the imagery of silver mornings or afternoon pearls whilst Tuesday is yearning, always yearning for more. And then until I step beneath the warm, easy flow of my warm, easy shower, I have water, always water. This water is mine, never too cold nor too hot. You know, I like that this is such a wonderful reminder of how truly blessed we are. Beautiful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Ms. Kate, how about you?
Yes, I think I can see exactly what you were saying there. It starts off with her being not very happy at all. This is not the life she wants. And just by sheer good fortune, she hears that particular radio program. And that is what enables her to stop, realize that she is lucky. I think that's wonderful because you could go along, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks in the deep doldrums because you don't think your life's that wonderful, because you're not thinking of other people. When you feel like that, you don't think of other people. But then this radio program has made her realize how much better things are than she thought they were, which I think is lovely, because there's nothing worse than being sad. You know, you have to smile. You just have to. It takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. So you can exercise your face less and smile more. So I think this is wonderful. I think she captured that beautifully, Tuesday's tears. I mean, it was just lovely. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great comment, Keith. Yeah, Pam, I'm kind of with you. It is pretty cool that she found this pre-write absolutely slipped into this contest without, a flutter or a tripping or anything. It was right. First off, it is Tuesday. Just saying. And the images were very somber. And there was water in a lot of them. And I think that she absolutely recognized that this would fit and be a comfortable place. It was a lovely, lovely write, and it was thought-provoking. You know, we do take for granted a lot of things. Maybe not you or me, but I know I do. I take a lot of things for granted, not realizing that there is an issue. And I think that she definitely pointing out to everyone. Let's put it this way. I thought her thoughts were well expressed. And she put food for thought into everyone about, you know, people don't all have water. And it's a horrible thing when you think about it. You know, I mean, water is important and for many, many reasons, you know. I mean, so it was a great, great piece. Let me see now. Greg, I have another one for you. If you do not mind, it's called Fragrant Lockdown Mark.
Okay.
Thanks.
The fragrance of you blossoms like a romance, and in me you imbue thoughts of destiny's dance. You are my art, helping me grow, the beat of your heart moving mine. So you are a song to sing, a destiny I would see, like a bird on the wing, a sweet harmony. So I commit to word, thoughts you could not touch. Please let me be heard. I love you so much. End poem.
Nice read, Ray. Nice read. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, you know, I have to say that there's sometimes, you know, a bit of romance just speaks to the heart. I like the flow of this poem. I like the tenderness to it. You know, how it speaks on the idea of a love that creates balance and harmony between two people. I particularly like "You are my art, helping me grow, the beat of your heart moving mine so." I think that line, helping me grow, is very important, the idea of two people growing together. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. Nice, Pam. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this is romantic, which is so like, I really like romance. I think everybody should have some in their life. But this is just lovely. You are a song to sing, a destiny I would see, like a bird on the wing, a sweet harmony. Ah, yes. Sorry, I was just reading that last stanza. It's just so sweet. Yes, this is lovely. The fragrance of you blossoms like a romance, and in me imbue destiny's dance. That's just lovely. And I think, yes, she looks quite a little bit of mischief in her face, I think. Which I think is lovely as well. But yes, this is an ode to a beautiful person, it looks like, and somebody who's deeply loved. I think that's very nice. Very well done, Lockdown Larks.
Nice. Nice comment, Kate. And Gray, how about you?
Sure, I'll just read the comment that I wrote. There is a cadence that beats along with your words that is as endearing as this poem.
Nice.
Beautifully written.
Yeah. Great comment. I thought this was a beautiful reflection of the poem. I thought it was lovely work, and the sweet emotions were well conveyed. And I started here with this stanza and ran into the next. I'm great. The fragrance of you blossoms like a romance, and in me you imbue thoughts of destiny's dance. You are my art, helping me grow, the beat of your heart moving mine. So I just really enjoyed the piece, and I thought it was well done. And she is about the most cheerful subject in those images, I must say. She's got that little half grin on her face. I like it. Very much so. Now, Pam, I have one for you. And this is by Thomas B. from Thunderhead.
All right, this is Thunderheads by Thomas B., and it goes like this. Where the wind blows, daisies bow, barefoot scramble, past briars along the rocks by the brooks, and catch summer sun streaking through leaves, dancing along a rill's rush of froth. How often had cows lowing, sheep sprinkled like afterthoughts of snow across a lea, brought her to a place of dreams. Streams still chilled by a winter's memory, the wild flowers beginning their symphony for the entrance of summer. Freedom found in youth's exuberance, birds flight, insects buzz, and she just begun to awaken to the wonder she is. All the combing to whittle away time, all the sewing so she could sing and sway with all the wonder a young woman could bring. Hair now braided to protect from snarls, flowers, scents, teasing her so she must twine and wind them into her hair, never being aware that she is far more fair. Just a mountain girl, freshly awakened, a young lady yet to be bespoken, still full of laughter, waiting for the dance of life to be awoken, turns around a tall oak, spies a bit of smoke, hears men's laughter, the last part of a joke, slips into shadows cast as the men come, bottles of drink in hand, laughing and bragging about the girls they would have you believe they had, their talk a smear on dreams of love, their jokes destroying something sacred, casting light on things private and best unsaid. She blushed and felt the laughter steal away. She turned inside and made a promise. She would never let a man act that way towards her. Their laughter, dirt, she would scrub away. Their jokes so ill-humored, it was a sickness. To be healed, a cancer to be cut out and tossed away. She became a wiser woman that day, felt a childhood washed, weathered, and drained, no longer ready to play. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Really nicely done. And Greg, you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. It was a fantastic write. I mean, you know, it was an amazing read, Pam. But when you first started reading, I could hear Thomas's voice as you read his words, so that was kind of interesting. But, you know, he has a beautiful storyline here of this woman, you know, coming from innocence into awareness, and how beautiful and yet tragic it is that, you know, this happens, but I guess it is part of life. You know, men are a bunch of dirty pigs, so, but, you know, and so, you know, I could imagine her being awakened to that fact by this encounter, and yeah, it's just an epic poem, beautifully written. Well read, Pam.
Mm-hmm. And Weaver, how about you?
Oh, yes. This is, it's so sad, isn't it, that somebody's innocence is shattered because of loud voices. And I don't suppose these things would have been said had there not been drink involved, but perhaps it was the best thing that she learned early to be careful and not to trust everybody, because not everybody can be trusted. But it seemed a real shame doesn't it, that she had to grow up so quickly and learn things she shouldn't really have to learn. But beautifully written, I thought it was such a lovely story. And the long beautifully, I thought that was really cool. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this. Yeah, it was a beautiful story poem. I like how the main theme is almost like a coming of age story, but with the idea of innocence suddenly destroyed by vulgarity, a sense of all of a sudden seeing things from a different perspective. And you just see the transition within that moment as she goes from an innocent girl to someone who's all of a sudden well aware of how crude people can be. Just a wonderful write all the way through. But I particularly did like that middle stanza. Turns around, a tall oak spies a bit of smoke, hears men's laughter, the last part of a joke slips into shadows cast. You know, wonderful lines there and very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Weaver, I didn't ask you, did I?
Yes, you did.
Did I
really? Oh, you did. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you remember because my brain just kind of went. and Gray, how about you? I thought I asked you too, didn't I?
You did. Thank you.
Well, can't you just comment one more time? Just saying. I think this is a wonderful piece by Thomas. He usually gets to the heart of the matter, you know. And this is no different than that. I thought it was a well-penned piece. It's a great take on the prompt because it's such an intriguing image. It was a sad story told. You know, there's you kind of can feel the wind going out of her sails as she experiences the men chuckling and having a good old time and hearing things that she probably has no business hearing. Poor little thing. And I just thought it was a very well done piece. So thank you, Thomas, as always, for sharing with us. And I'm glad that you took interest in the prompts. That was wonderful. Okay. Now, what am I doing next? Oh, here we go. I'm going to put this one up by Fran Marie. I'm going to give it a read. It's called Watercolor Whispers. I ascend with watercolor whispers of lilac and lavender pastels. Swirls of silver curls dance in my hair, forming foam waves of a new season. I bring scents of honeysuckle and summer's last heated night. Soft pink and powder blue hues blend and bend to rosy shades of sapphires breathing, autumn's amber breath dawning, forming her art and poem. Okay. Pam, you want to kick us off on this one?
Absolutely. This is beautiful. I'm glad she chose Watercolor Whispers as her title, as I thought that was just a beautiful phrase. And this is wonderful all the way through. I really like that there's a kind of a personification of the seasons and a transformation, you know, a moving forward from summer to autumn. And that represents almost like the growth of a person, the growth of a woman. I really love this all the way through, but I especially like, I bring scents of honeysuckle in summer's last heated nights. It just makes you think of enjoying those last nights of summer. And there is something just so beautiful about this scent of honeysuckle. So wonderfully written and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Weaver, how about you?
Oh, yeah. I had looked at this picture before I'd written what I did, and I thought that was just a beautiful piece of art, honeysuckle. I love honeysuckle too. I cut it and bring it in and float it in a bowl of water, and the scent is just intoxicating. I love it. So yes, lovely choice, scent of honeysuckle in summer's last heated night. I think this was beautifully written. I love all the colours, the lilacs and lavenders, curls. Yeah, she brings it all soft pink and powder blue hues. Everything that's in that picture is there in her words. And I think it's just absolutely lovely. So I think it's well done. Thank you very much.
Nice comment, Wayla. And Gray, how about you? Off mute?
Maybe. Yes, off mute. I was mutating, I'm sorry. But no, you know, I said a beautiful comment before, now my mind went blank. But no, I mean, you know, this is where I get the image of Mother Nature, you know, as the character behind the words, because of the descriptive nature of the words and the changing of the seasons. But, you know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful poem with lovely imagery and wording. So, excellent job.
All right. Nice comment. And I thought it was a lovely write with great imagery. I thought it was so very well expressed. And I want to thank you, Fran Marie, for sharing with us tonight. Wonderful, wonderful piece. And that's the only time that image I saw tonight. How about you, Pam? That's the first time.
That is the only one I saw of that image. So very cool. I like that. I like seeing that somebody took that one.
Absolutely. Intriguing.
You know, and I think there's something slightly more playful about this image. Like there's almost, you know, like there's not a lot of variations in the expressions, but between the grasping of the flower, the hair flowing back, and the expression on the face, I would say there's almost a mischievousness, a playfulness to this one.
Yeah, I have to agree. Okay, let me see now. I have one more poem left for tonight. And Weaver, it's on you.
Okay.
Awesome.
No problemo. Just give me a moment to refresh.
No problem.
My wish. I wish the flowers on her were the color of her cheeks. End poem.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's it. Just a little reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Gray, do you want to start us off?
Brilliant read, Weaver. But, I mean, you know, the poem's short to the point. You know, he wishes that the flowers were more pink and like her cheeks. So just a beautiful write. Excellently written. Little brevity.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Now, how is it that you didn't assign this one to yourself?
I just had to give you a hard time.
But yeah, this is a wonderful mega brevity. Beautiful all the way through, and I like how the main theme of it is the idea that nothing that this girl puts on, no flowers, no makeup, no jewelry, is anywhere near as beautiful as she is in her natural state. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Ray, how about you? Or did I start?
You got me ready.
God almighty. Yeah. Weaver, how about you?
What a sweet little brevity this is. And what a lovely compliment to the lady of his dreams, I presume. I wish the flowers on her were the color of her cheeks. And that says everything, doesn't it? He thinks she's beautiful as she is and doesn't mind at all. I think that's lovely. Beautifully written. Thank you.
Nice job. We're getting you in tune for tomorrow with brevity. That's what that is.
Good, yes.
I thought this was a wonderful brevity and very well penned. And I want to thank you, R.G. Kamal, for sharing with us tonight. Great poem and much appreciated. And speaking of appreciation, Gray, Weaver, Cam, I appreciate you all. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have about 4 minutes left, and there's nothing left for me to draw out. The only thing I can say is join us tomorrow for Keeping It Brief, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And that'll be followed by The Art of Seduction. Well, Weaver, what's your topic for tomorrow? Is it just open poetry?
I think it's Japan, is it not? Is it Japan?
Something like that.
I'm sure it is.
I don't know. I think maybe it is. I haven't seen anything different. Mm-hmm. And Pam, tomorrow night you have The Art of Seduction, and that's Red Red Wine, isn't
it? It so is, okay. Yes. The topic is red wine, and people can call me and join me in Weaver.
Yep, if anybody wants to. Oh, yes, and Weaver will be joining you. Yes, yes, yes. And anyone who feels up to it, grab a bottle of red, red wine and call on in. Pam will be happy to.
Red, red wine, yes.
There we go. Absolutely. And after The Art of Seduction, we will have Headliner's Ball with Jeremy F. and Pam Wright. Pam's a busy girl on Wednesdays. And who does he have this morning, Pam?
Daniel Deschino and Arliss D.
Arliss D, there you go. So that sounds like that'd be another great show. So tomorrow is a triple header. And thank you for all you do, Pam. And thanks for another wonderful Wednesday, everybody. Ray, I'm glad you called in. It's always great to have you join us. And Weaver, always wonderful to have you join us. I would send you a link every day if I thought I'd get away with it. So since I'm not so sure about availability, I'll just hit you up here and there. I figure that's a better way to do it. Meantime, I hope everybody has a great night, what's left of it, and a wonderful rest of the week. And, we'll be hearing from you tomorrow, I hope.
Yes.
Take it easy. Join up, everybody. Have a good day.
I had a wonderful time, and I want to say thank you to everybody. I think my favorite people are here on this show, so I really enjoyed it. So thank you for allowing me to.
You just like us because we're crazy. That's what that is. I know the deal. Absolutely. Okay, everybody. I thank you all much, and you take care. And I will talk to you soon. Thank
you. Good night,
you.
Everybody.
Thank you, Pam. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good
night, Pam. Good night, Gray.
Good night, Weaver.
Good night, my dear. Night, Pam.
Good night, Bill. Good night, Pam.
Good night, John Boy.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's nearly half past six here.
You guys are